Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
Hey, everybody. And there's a chair. How y'all doing? Everyone's good? It's finally here. Thanksgiving is upon us. And it's Thanksgiving weekend. We want to say hello to our online church fam. If you're on Facebook, give us a shout out. Let us know where you're watching from. And we always love to connect with you. And hey, I am so grateful to be today with my Bakersfield fam. And it is a great time to be at home. How many of you came from out of town for Thanksgiving weekend? Anybody in the house that did that? Okay, maybe, I don't know. But we are so grateful that you are here today. We actually have been in a series for a few weeks, and this is, we're just wrapping up the second week of what we call our 21-day Thanksgiving challenge. Now, some of you are new to this, and so we understand, you know, that, you know, you feel like you're a little bit late to the party, but you can start this today, okay? So what we've been doing is we have been challenging ourselves that every day when we wake up, we're going to spend 5 minutes before we do anything else, and we are going to thank God for something in our life. 5 minutes. And I know that just sounds, you know, it's like, wow, 5 minutes of thanking God. I challenge you, right? Or as I like to say from one of my favorite movies, I triple dog dare you, all right? How many know what movie that's from? Okay. So that's the first challenge. The second is during the day, this is part of the 21-day Thanksgiving challenge, is you text somebody in your life that has made a difference for your life. And so you text them, somebody that's helped you out in some kind of a significant way, and recognize them. Say, I thank God for you being in my life, for you helping me through a very difficult season that I went through. Matter of fact, let's do that right now. Take your phone out. Let's take your phone out. We're going to do this right now. You at home, you do the same thing. Take your phone out, and I want you to text somebody right now that popped in your mind. When I said that, there was a friend, there was a family member, maybe there was a pastor, a leader in the church that just came to your mind. I want you to shoot them a text right now. I'm giving you permission to text in church, okay? So go ahead and do that. Send them that text. You know, make sure you put that little smiley face emoji on there, all right? Because that makes everybody feel a lot better. So that's the second challenge. And then the third, as you're wrapping up that text message, is you end the day by journaling a bunch of things that you're grateful for. So let's take, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes at the end of the day, journal it down. How many iPhone people do we have? All right? You know, okay, how many Samsung Android people do we have? Okay, you're not, yeah, a couple of you. You mess up our group texts, okay? But we still love you, okay? And more importantly, Jesus loves you. You and your Samsung phone. But hey, I will tell you this, that there's a little notepad on the iPhone that you can leave your little Thanksgiving kind of notes, and you just keep going. Every night, spend about 5 to 10 minutes journaling down things that you are thankful for. And what we're going to find at the end of the 21 days is that Thanksgiving isn't meant to be a once-a-year tradition. That God has actually made Thanksgiving a lifestyle for his followers. And so that's why I love this time of the year. There are some people, they make me frustrated. They like to go right from October 31st and they go straight into Christmas mode. But I think Thanksgiving needs its rightful place, and we need to give it some props. And the reason is just because if we're really practicing a lifestyle Thanksgiving, what's going to take place is you're going to feel more connected with God. right? You're going to experience more peace in your life. And thirdly, you're going to have better relationships with other people. I mean, I'm not just saying this. This is like science. This is research. This is stuff that people that aren't even connected to faith agree with me on. And so I triple dog dare you, start the challenge as we get into today's Bible study. And we're going to kind of be in a couple of different places. And so if you're following along, maybe you can open your Bible. I don't know. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. We'll start there because I believe that God has a great word for us in one particular proverb as we kind of are unpacking this big idea of thanks and giving. And I like this idea of thanks and giving. Because as we've been talking, this idea of thanksgiving, it really helps us to understand what God is processing. Because when you are giving thanks, it's actually positioning you to be able to give to others like in a easier way. Because here's what I know about us as humans, all right? We struggle with selfishness. Anyone been struggling with some selfishness this week? No elbowing allowed, all right? You know, some marriages right now are in trouble because of some selfishness that maybe popped up. And this is kind of like the default position, you know, just kind of a bummer that this is kind of like where we're at. And what happens is when we start giving thanks, it starts opening the door for breakthrough in our life. This is how I like to say it. Giving a thank you makes way for your breakthrough. How many of you have been praying for a breakthrough over your life? How many of you have been praying and believing for a breakthrough in a relationship in your life? See, breakthrough is like one of these like trendy Christian words right now. If you are on TikTok or whatever, it's like you hear a lot about breakthrough. And I think there's a lot of ways that God brings breakthrough, but I believe giving thanks is a huge thing that we need to practice in order for us to experience breakthrough. And we know that breakthrough comes in all kinds of different shapes and sizes, but one of the biggest ways that we need breakthrough for our lives in order to live out the life that God wants us to live is when we start walking in this giving thanks business. It's so cool. What it does is it helps to cancel out the selfishness. It helps kind of get it to be silent in our life, even though it's our default position. Because here's what happens. When you start giving thanks, you start experiencing generosity towards other people. And I like how one dictionary that I was looking up online, this is so fun for me to hear this. It means the readiness or liberality in giving. So this is how I like to say it. Generosity is the overflow of giving thanks. Write that down. Generosity is the overflow of giving thanks. And so if you think about that mindset, selfishness sabotages so much in our lives, but especially in relationships, right? See, some of you maybe are in a relationship dramatic situation right now because of this. And I was reading this week. It says a young man called his mom so excited to tell her that he had just met the woman of his dreams. And his mom said, "Why don't you send her flowers and invite her to your apartment for a home-cooked meal?" And he took her up on her suggestion. The day after the big date, his mom called to see how things had gone. And the son told her, "Mom, the evening was a complete disaster. It was horrible." The mom said, "Why? Did she not come over to the apartment?" The son told her, "No, she came over, but she refused to cook." If you didn't get that, you can ask the person next to you afterwards. But when you're selfish, you know, you can't see other people really well. You can only see yourself. And what you call a next level selfish person is a narcissist. And some of you have met a narcissist. Some of you maybe have one in your home where it's like the world revolves around them. But what we need to connect the dots in tonight is that thanks and giving go together. Kind of like peanut butter and jelly, right? When you're giving thanks, you're a more giving person. And when you're a more giving person, you're silencing the selfishness that is trying to sabotage everything in your life. I mean, Jesus said it. It's more blessed to what? Give than to receive. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump in, and we're going to learn a little bit about generosity tonight. So Father, I thank you so much for bringing us together and for allowing us to celebrate Thanksgiving, not just once a year, but every day as your kids, every day as followers of Jesus. And I pray that you would speak through me as your vessel, that when we leave this place, God, we will know that we had a divine appointment with the living God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, that was good. That was a strong prayer. Okay, Proverbs. Now, Solomon, who wrote a lot of the Proverbs, he was the wisest man to ever live, right? He prayed for the wisdom of heaven, and God blessed him with it. And so we have all these Proverbs in the Bible. And I love this one in chapter 21 because he's like zeroing in on lazy, selfish people. And this is what it says in verse 26. It says, all day long, he talking about this lazy, selfish person, craves and craves, just wanting more and more. But the righteous gives and does not hold back. The righteous gives and does not hold back. You can substitute for righteous, you can just put in that place followers of Jesus. Because we are in his righteousness. Because Christ lives in us and he is the righteousness of God, we are now living in the righteousness of God because he lives in us. And righteousness is simply meaning that you are doing what is right. So the righteous gives and does not hold back. So what we do is we give to God because he first gave to us and he didn't hold back. Aren't you glad that God didn't hold back giving to you, his one and only son? It says it right there, the most famous Bible verse in our Bibles. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son. God didn't withhold anything from you. He gave you his best. And now because he lives in us, we're positioning ourselves to not hold back from God. So what do we do? How do we give this generous gift back to God? There's three main ways, and you might want to write these down because this will help you, again, silence the selfishness that's sabotaging so much of your life. So it is found in generosity, which is found in giving thanks. So here's the three areas. Write this down. Time, talent, and treasure. Time, talent, and treasure. So we are being called by God in his righteousness, not to give where we're not holding back. So let's just kind of take an inventory today and let's kind of see how we're doing on this. Let's look at our time. How much of your time has been leveraged for you in what you wanted versus you giving your time for God and for what he wants? For other people and what they need. So just take a little, you know, self-inventory here, okay? That's just time. Now let's look at talents because, you know, I like talents because it starts with T, but this is like another way of saying ability. That each person in this place, each person watching online today, you have abilities. Some of them have been given to you supernaturally. Some of them have been taught to you from, you know, when you were a wee little lad and you learn, you know, you learn this trade, you learn this ability, and now maybe you're, you know, it's so well crafted in you, you're making money from it. Whatever that ability is, and everybody has ability. Don't listen to the devil tell you that you don't have any abilities. You have abilities. Look at your neighbor right now and say, you have abilities. And what we need to ask ourselves today is, what are we doing with those abilities to give them back to God? To not hold back? How are we leveraging these talents for God's kingdom? And for other people that may need some help in their life. There was a friend of mine years ago when I was leading the Vegas campus, and when I was doing ministry with this guy, he just came up to me one night and he said, "Hey, Pastor Jib, I've been doing this ministry on the I-15 every night. I see a lady stranded on the side of the road, or a car stranded on the side of the road, and I'll pull up behind them and I'll help get them, you know, fix their car, get them off the highway so that they're not in a danger. And then I always pray with them and I get to give them the gospel before they drive off." He goes, "This is so fun." Now, this guy's a mechanic. So if I were to do that, I think I would endanger everybody, all right? So I'm not a mechanic. But he had this ability to work on cars and to fix cars. And so he said, "I want to leverage that, and I want to give to God, and I want to give to people." So that's your talent. And the last category is probably the one that we all probably struggle with the most, and that's our treasure. It's our money. This is the part that people tend to kind of push back a little bit. It's like, man, I'm going to give God my soul. I'm going to give God my problems, but I'm not quite ready to give him my wallet. I'm not ready to just hand over my finances to God. And it's scary. And I will tell you that one of the difference makers for me personally, stepping from kind of what I call like the surface Christianity to like full throttle Christianity, was coming to a place of surrendering my money to God. Coming to a place of understanding that when I gave Jesus my life, I gave him everything in my life, including my money. And I know you hear this talk sometimes about tithing and 10%, but the reality is that 10% isn't what belongs to God. Everything you have belongs to God. Just stop this thinking like, oh, 10%, that's God's. No, 100% is God's. He's just saying, hey, if you want me to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings, then reserve the first fruit, the first tenth for my kingdom. Then that's how I'm going to do it. But ultimately, when we talk about treasure, it all belongs to God. So here we are taking an inventory. How are we doing on that? How are we taking our treasure and making sure in our righteousness that we're not holding back anything from God, anything from people that may have been supernaturally put into our life on purpose by God? I am convinced now more than ever, and I've been following Jesus for 30 years, nobody comes into your life on accident. Everybody that comes into your life is on purpose. There's no coincidences, there's only providence. And so take a step back, and maybe there are people in your life right now that God has blessed you so that you can be a blessing to them. I'm speaking to somebody's heart today as you're processing this, but what we're talking about here is this generous spirit. And there's a generous spirit inside each of us because we serve a generous God. And so the more we're giving thanks to this generous God, the more the generosity in us is being activated. Are you feeling me tonight? This is what God wants to do with all of us. And then the cool side benefit is when that generosity is activated, the selfishness is going to get silenced. And there's going to be breakthrough for your life that is going to change your life. Do you see how they're all connected? They're all woven together? Well, as we talk about this idea of generosity, specifically with our treasure, there's kind of three different, I call them mindsets, because, you know, this selfish me-first mindset that we tend to have, there's certain mindsets that we fight against. And what I have found, especially in generosity, that there's these three mindsets that are prevalent as we think about, you know, this idea of being generous towards God's kingdom. And the first one, write this down, is what I call the bag mindset. And the bag mindset is simply, there is never enough. There's never enough. This bag is kind of what we would describe as a purse or a wallet. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 6, the Old Testament, the Israelites were not putting God first in their life. They weren't being obedient to God in their life. And It says this: you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. How many of you have ever been dealing with your money and thought, where did all my money go? I got my paycheck. It's got the direct deposit, and I just checked my account. Where did it go? Now, all the receipts may help you kind of connect the dots where the money went, but the money always goes somewhere. But there's this, like, what I would call a scarcity mindset, where it's just, it's never enough. There's always room, you know, to put more in there. And it's like, the more that you get, it seems like the more that you lose sometimes. And I kind of grew up with this, and I still struggle with this, to be honest with you. This looks kind of like this bag mindset. And this is where greediness really can get a hold of you and start squeezing the generosity out of you. And so you got to be really careful when it comes to the bag mindset, because this is kind of the mindset that Judas, Jesus's betrayer, had. Interesting enough, he was the one that held the money bag for all of Jesus's ministry. So he's kind of was the appointed treasurer. And in Mark chapter 14, we read about what looks like to be a prostitute worshiping Jesus for how Jesus had changed her life. And she whips out this perfume. And in the Gospel of Mark, we read that it was a very expensive perfume, probably costing somebody's year salary. So imagine, what is the average year salary? I don't know, $50,000. Just throw that on the table. So she takes this bottle of $50,000 perfume, and she starts dumping it on Jesus. And it says that Judas started freaking out. He's like, Jesus, like, stop her. Like we could take that money and sell it, or, you know, take that perfume, sell it, and give all the money to the poor. But then Mark gives us this idea, saying he said that not because he wanted to give it to the poor, but because he wanted a little bit more for himself. And then it was the same guy that ended up betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Let me just give you a word today: that greediness is a silent killer against not just your faith, but it's against your whole entire life. And what's super concerning about greediness is you can't see it in the mirror. It's very, very invisible to yourself. So you have to kind of check yourself. Like, do I have that bag mindset where I'm just always just striving for more and it just never seems to be enough? And then you have the second mindset. We call this the basket mindset. And the basket mindset is simply, there is enough. And we hear about baskets in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. There were some miracles that Jesus did, and he used baskets to kind of collect the miracle. I remember, you know, the little boy with the fishes and the loaves, and he took them and he gave them over to the disciples, and Jesus gave it, or the disciples gave it to Jesus, and he took it and he blessed it. And every 5,000 men, probably thousands of women and children, I mean, a miracle. They were all fed by those five loaves and two fish. Then it says that there was such excess that there were 12 baskets left over. And I think it's fun to think that there were 12 disciples, and so each one of them had this basket full of surplus after everybody was fed, to just be reminded that when God is in your life, he can be trusted to be your provider. Have you guys heard that new worship song by Maverick City called Jireh? You know, Jehovah Jireh is the name in the Old Testament for the Lord is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. And when God gets involved in your life, you will always have enough. And you will always even have a little extra so that you can share that little extra with somebody else that needs that little extra. Can you guys agree with that? A few of you. How about at home? You know, smash that like button, all right? So let's look at this. Deuteronomy 28, verses 2 and 5. All these blessings will come on you. So remember, in Haggai, they were not being obedient to God. They weren't putting God first. But here's the promise of the blessings that come when you put God first and you're obedient to do what God tells you to do. It says, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. He will make more out of it than what was in it because you are being obedient to him. Who am I speaking to today? Who needs to hear that? That the blessing is in God giving you what you need in your basket. I think it's so good for us to hear this. Now check this out. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. It doesn't say keep and it will be given to you. It doesn't say hoard and it will be given to you. It says give and it will be given to you. There's something about giving that activates heaven to move for your life. And if you think about this idea that you want God to bring you breakthrough, maybe the breakthrough is going to come and you stepping out in faith and becoming a giver for God's kingdom. And when you start being a giver, that is when things start happening. It says, give and it will be given to you. And this imagery here about a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. In ancient times, and the people listening to Jesus would have understood this contextually. They would have understood what he meant by this statement. Because this, you know, rich farmer would have this surplus of harvest, and after his workers were done, he would say, hey, let's take the extra and let's put it at the edge of the harvest, at the edge of the vineyard, at the edge of the fields. And so that way those people that are in need will be able to have something to take care of themselves. And so these workers, when they knew that they were bringing this extra to the edge of the field, they made sure, right? They're going to get as much as they can in that basket to get to the edge, especially if that was going to be used to feed their own families. So think about like a basket. Think about this imagery right now. He's saying it's going to be a good measure. You're putting it all on the basket into where it's like, oh, it's like coming out, and then you're going to smash it down, right? You're pressing it down. You're shake it and make sure that every bit is down there that you can do, and then it's running over. It's spilling over. And if that imagery doesn't kind of connect with you, just think of the last time you went to 7-Eleven and you filled up that Slurpee cup. How many are Slurpee people? Any Slurpee people in the house? Now, when I go to 7-Eleven and I fill up that Slurpee cup, and I normally go for the big gulp, right? You go for there and see, I don't do it and just like put it there and put the lid on. I want to maximize my Slurpee experience. So I will put the lid on and make sure that I have enough Slurpee that it's like going up all the way and it's popping out of the very top of the lid. I mean, it's a little messy, but I'm maximizing my Slurpee experience. And what this scripture is saying, when you give this way in your life, God gives back to your life in such a way that it is overflowing, it is spilling out. And God is saying, I want to bring this into your life. But in order for this kind of Slurpee experience to happen for you, you have to be the first stepper, and you have to step out, and you have to become a giver. And to be a liver for God requires you to be a giver to God. And so as you think about this and process this basket idea, that when you're living this kind of a lifestyle, you always have enough. And I'm thinking about my own life, and I'm thinking about how in the last 3 years, I mean, my life has been a whirlwind. And many of you know our story. We stepped out in faith. We felt like God was calling us to leave our Vegas campus and start a Thousand Oaks campus. And I, you know, it's expensive down there, you guys. Man, I I am missing being here in Bakersfield just for our cost of living, all right? But we're there and it's expensive. And I'm like, God, how are we going to do this? And I learned a principle that I've been preaching for years, but it's been manifesting itself, not just like yearly, but like weekly. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive him. He is going to make sure that your needs are met. Every need that Tara and I have had since we launched this new campus in Thousand Oaks has been supernaturally met. I have a journal of miracle God stories, how we were looking at each other going, how are we going to pay for that? How is that going to happen? And then the next day, something would happen. The next day, a check would come in. The next day, somebody would say, hey, I want to take care of that for you guys. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's crazy how many ways that God has provided. Now, here's the third one. Write this down. And I call this the barn mindset. Now, this is where I want to live. And this is where you want to live. And this is where it's not just your needs are being met and you have enough. You have more than enough. It takes a whole barn to take care of the blessings that are happening in your life. This is like outrageous generosity level. Listen to this scripture, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to what, church? Overflowing. That slurpy experience, right? It's just, it's happening. Your barns are full. And as you think about what God is calling us into, this generous lifestyle that is a byproduct of us giving thanks, that silences the selfish tendencies that we all struggle with. And what is happening is that God is saying, when you give, when you are a generous person, this is how I move for your life. The Apostle Paul, he wrote 2/3 of what we call the New Testament, and he's writing these different churches. And one of the churches that he wrote a lot of letters to were the Corinthians. And so we read of this phenomenon that was happening in Jerusalem where there was a famine in kind of like the headquarters, right? This is where the movement began. And people were struggling, not just because of the persecution of being followers of Jesus, but there was a famine in the land. And so all of the surrounding areas, including this area in Corinth, Paul was trying to raise funds in order to help the poor and the less fortunate, the marginalized in Jerusalem. And so he's kind of calling them out. He's saying, God has done so much for you. Can't you do something for God? Can you move yourself into a position where you are all in and you're holding nothing back? And this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. This is what I love. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I don't even need to preach that. I just read that and it's blessing you. Why? Because there's a principle that Paul is unpacking that if we really live this out, church, our life is going to be different because we are going to be living this abundant life that Jesus himself promised we ought to be experiencing because God lives in us. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And that word literally is translated overflowing. God wants you to have an overflowing experience in this life and the life to come, and it's found in you being a cheerful giver. Now, I love this. This is where the Greek language gets fun because the word for cheerful is hilarios. What does that sound like? hilarious, right? Funny. Like, it's one thing to think about, like, okay, I'm gonna give, and I'm gonna hold nothing back because I am the righteousness of God. I'm His righteous. I am not holding anything back. It's one thing to be a giver, but what we're being called to be is hilarious givers. God loves hilarious givers. Now think about that. What is a hilarious giver? It's somebody that is giving, smiling, maybe even laughing, because they know that they're not going to be able to outgive God. They know that whatever generosity they show in any form, whether it's their time, their talent, or their treasure, God is going to show up on scene and do incredibly, wonderfully, more than they could ask or imagine kind of things in their life. That's Ephesians 3:20. And so a hilarious giver is somebody that is positioned in the steady faith that trusts God. No matter what, He's going to take care of me. That's hilarious giver. So when you get this announcement, hey, you should give to the church. Hey, you should give to this cause. There shouldn't be this like, I don't know about that. Because here's what a cheerful giver does. A cheerful giver doesn't look at what they give as something they're losing. A cheerful giver gives and thinks, this is something I'm gaining. Because here's the reality. When you give to somebody or to a cause that is building God's kingdom, what is happening is you are actually storing up yourself treasures in heaven where neither moss or rust can get to. Like this is like you're leveraging your eternity because you're investing the resources, the time, the abilities that God has given you for His kingdom. So you've got to just ditch this idea that when I give, I'm losing something. No. When you give, you're gaining something. That's why when we talk about giving at this church or any church that you're part of, it's not that we want something from you. We want something for you. Because what we're doing is we are seeing the kingdom of God advance through this church, through our church in Thousand Oaks, and through every church that we have launched and planted. I mean, God is changing lives. And so when you are giving your treasure, when you're giving your time, when you're giving your talent, lives are being changed. People are being healed. Families are being restored. And I can't think of a better way to invest your time, your talent, and your treasure. This isn't about you losing. This is about you gaining. And more importantly, this is about God's kingdom advancing. So why would you hold back? If all this is true, and all this is the way that God operates, this is His system we're talking about, why would you hold back? See, the very thing that you're praying for, the breakthrough that you've been hoping for, may be found in this really odd way by you giving thanks so that you could activate that generous spirit to actually trust God and advance His kingdom. And the very thing that you've been praying for and hoping for is going to take place. You give thanks to God, you're going to feel more connected to God, you're going to be experiencing more peace with God in yourself, and you're going to have better relationships with every person that is in your life. Thanks and giving go together. All right? That's good. That's pretty much all that I had for you guys. I'm going to leave you with one final challenge. Because when we talk about giving, there's the spiritual and then there's the practical. Here's the practical. Think of it as like three circles. And we're all being called by God to give to the church. And this is kind of like ground zero for God's heavenly kingdom advancement, right? So we're coming, we're putting our resources together so that we could do something big. So we take our little so that together our little with everybody else's little, we can do something really, really big. You guys do the plus one. We do the plus one. It's fun to be able to see $1 actually make a big difference. But this is what really the church is all about. We're bringing our resources together so that we could do big things. The equipment that you see in here and you know, that you get to just sit in here and experience all that we are experiencing here and even at home, all that you get to experience at home, it costs money. And certainly you probably couldn't afford to buy this equipment. You couldn't afford to pay the electric bill for this building and this property. But guess what? Your little bit with my little bit and your little bit and your little bit, and we're together. Now we're paying for stuff. And now, see, people literally are watching around the world because your little bit and my little bit bought a camera and got us on the internet. And now somebody in Africa is having their lives touched by God because you have sown in to the local church. You need to know that. So that's one circle. Then there's a kind of a larger circle, and that's like just giving locally. And this is beyond just your tithe and your offering to the church. This is you just being a generous person to the community. When you're out at Target or Walmart or at the gas station, when you get that little prompting to say, hey, go be generous. I started something a year ago, and I like to, you know, every once in a while I'll officiate a wedding, and it's customary to give the pastor who is officiating some money. And so I say, thank you for that blessing, right? And I like to put it in my wallet, and I just hold it there because it's really for me to give away to other people. And there was an opportunity I had a month or so ago, and I had $200 in there, and I was so excited. I actually forgot about it for a while, but then I saw it again. I was like, wow, Lord, why'd you remind me about this today? He's like, because I have somebody for you to give that to today. And so I just prayed. I felt like the Lord told me to go to this grocery store, and I went there, and I saw this kind of, you know, a younger mom. I saw like a woman with a baby. And I go, okay, you know, so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'm supposed to give this $200 to a young mom with a baby. And so I'm in this store, and I'm hearing the Mission Impossible music in my head, right? Dun, 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 dun. And I'm going down each row, and I'm not finding a young mom with a kid. So I'm getting a little kind of concerned, like, did I really hear God? And there she was in aisle 11. And so I went up to this woman, I had the money, and that's kind of awkward, like, what do you do? And I just was like, okay, Holy Spirit, help me. And I just walked up to her and said, hey, excuse me, I was praying today, and I felt God sent me in here to give you this. And this lady looked at me, and she looked at the money, and she didn't know how to speak English. She goes, I don't know English. And I go, oh, man. And this is where I'm like, ah, you know, she spoke Spanish. And I was like, hablo español un poquito. And I was trying to think of like my Spanish courses in high school. And I just said, adios. You know, I don't know. It's like God, you know, God. And I gave her the money and said, you know, from him. And Jesus te amo, right? Is that how you say it? Jesus te amo. And so I was, everything I could think of, I was trying to communicate to this lady, and she just took it. And I just, I didn't know what else to do, so I just left. And I don't, maybe she's still wondering, like, who is that man? Why did he give me this money? But I left, and I don't know how to explain this. But it was, I mean, I got pumped up. And I didn't know what the end of the story was, but all I know is when you are living an outrageously generous life and you can go up to a complete stranger and hand them $200 cash and say, God sent me in here to give that money to you, that is so fun. Why wouldn't you want to live that way? Some of you are thinking, I want to run into you at the grocery store. So here's the third circle, and we'll end with this. The third circle is this. Think of the global impact you can make. So we talked about the church, the local church, talked about our community and how we could just be these reservoirs of heaven through our generosity. But think about this third circle, this circle of global impact. And you can think, what can I do? And the person I think of when I think of global impact is Dr. Peter Nalos, who is a part of this church, who is changing the continent of Africa. I don't know if you guys know what this man is doing, but talk about being an outrageous giver for God's kingdom. He is literally transforming a continent by building, I don't know how many schools he's up to. How many schools? Is he 100, 200? I lost track. But you just go to his Facebook site and you can see the difference that he's making. I think they got 5 new schools being built right now. And he's just one example. But you have to understand that half of the world's population lives on less than $5 a day. I mean, that is crazy to think about. That our wealth in this nation, how we live, is we're in the top 2% of the wealthiest people in the world. And I know you look at your checking account and you say, I beg to differ with that. But the luxuries that we have at our disposal, half the world's population would love to have. Clean drinking water, a house, food, plenty of food. When I went to Africa for my first trip, I actually met a little girl. She was 4 years old, I believe. And she hadn't eaten in 3 days. She was malnourished. And I began to talk with her and pray with her. And it was so eye-opening. There was another boy, he was 15. And because of his malnourishment, he looked like he was 10. And the last day when we were leaving, he said, I have no food to eat. And so I had all these protein bars. I was emptying my backpack and all the guys that were with me. I was like, hey, what do you guys have? This guy has nothing. And so we just emptied all of our stuff and gave it to him so he could take home to his family. And I'm not saying that to guilt trip any of us here. I'm just trying to give you a perspective that it doesn't take a whole lot to make a big difference. And it could just be a little bit that you put towards some kind of a global mission that this church is doing on top of everything else that you're doing so that you know that you're making a global impact. Because here's the reality. All of us are going to stand before God one day. And I know when I stand before God, I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of my kingdom. So I made a decision years ago, and I want to kind of just end it by telling you this. I want to live for the well done. And your well done is going to be found in you being the generous person that he's called you to be, holding nothing back, being full throttle giver for God's kingdom. And that starts with you giving thanks. So I'm going to pray with you right now. Would you just bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we thank you for this time tonight, today. And as we're searching our own hearts, Lord, show us the way we can live generous lives where we're holding nothing back. More time, more of our talent, more of our treasure, trusting you, knowing, God, that you hold the keys to breakthrough for our life. And some of you, while you're praying and the Holy Spirit is processing where you're at, some of you are far from God and you know it. And maybe even a buddy invited you to come today. Maybe you're watching online and you just happen to pop this feed on. This isn't by accident. God had you find this broadcast on purpose. And he loves you. He sees you. He knows exactly what is happening in your life. And he's calling you. He's giving you an invitation to follow him. For those of you today, he's giving you an invitation to follow him. It's one thing I've learned in following Jesus over the 30 years that I've been following is following Jesus is going to make your life better. It's going to make you better at life. Because the God that created you is going to live inside of you. And it begins with a prayer. And I encourage you, if you've never prayed this prayer in your own life, as I pray this prayer, I want you to pray that prayer right after me. And this is what it takes to begin following Jesus. Jesus, today I give you my life. Thank you for coming to this planet and dying for my sin and resurrecting from the grave so that you might put your spirit in me. And today I surrender it to you. Fill me with your spirit, for I'm making a decision to follow you, Jesus. I accept your invitation.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.